The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Welcome back to another episode of CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda. I'm Nick Nolenberger, play-by-play voice for the Barracuda. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we've got a great guest joining the show, one of the newer faces of Team Teal, and someone we're excited to get to know a little bit better, goaltender Matt Davis. Matt's coming off an incredible four-year career at Denver University, where he backstopped the Pioneers to a national championship as a junior and won a national championship also as a freshman while serving as a backup. Grab your headphones, settle in, and let's get into it with goaltender Matt Davis. Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We are very pleased to be joined by one of the newer members of the organization, goaltender Matt Davis. Matt, first and foremost, welcome to the organization. We met you at the end of the year. You kind of joined the Barracuda at the end, and you were part of the playoff group, part of that traveling group. But I want to ask first, how's your offseason going? This is your first real professional offseason leading into a pro season. How's it treating you so far?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, it was obviously awesome to get to go there for a couple of weeks and just kind of see what pro hockey is about and get the lay of the land and the playoff atmosphere. It was a lot of fun. The offseason's been great. I've just kind of been training. I graduated, so no more school, and really dipping into the full pro life. It's been a good time just training, skating, and trying to get outside whenever I can.
Yeah, congratulations on graduating. That's a big deal. And for athletes, you're balancing so much because not only are you focusing on your playing side of things and trying to be the best athlete you can be, but you've got to focus on school as well. So to get that degree, get that kind of out of the way, how big of a relief is that?
Yeah, I mean, it feels great. It's always just something nice to have to fall back on. I never want to say like things wouldn't work out, but you just never know. So it's always nice to have that to fall back on. And especially in finance, I've got at least a base on how to handle my money. And yeah, it's pretty good to have.
I was going to ask you, what you major in, and you said finance. So what drew you to that side, that degree and taking that path?
Well, I've always been good with math, and my dad's a financial advisor. So I thought I'd just go into finance. I didn't really know exactly what my passion was in school. So I stuck it out in finance and enjoyed it. And
this is the first time we've got to chat with you. So I want to go all the way back. This is what we normally do. We just kind of start where it all began. You're a Calgarian. So growing up in Calgary, hockey is just part of the culture. You have a very athletic family. We'll dive into that a little bit. But where did this journey of hockey begin? Where did it all start? What's your earliest memory?
My earliest memory is probably in the basement when my older brother threw me in net, and he shot a ball that just ended up going into my glove. And yeah, I'd say it's probably my earliest memory of playing hockey or just as a goalie in general. And yeah, I mean, I grew up with it. My older brother was in it. And as a Canadian kid, you're kind of automatically pushed into it. And yeah, I just haven't looked back.
You have three siblings. Older brother Cole, I believe, is the one you're referencing. And then you've got a younger brother too, who plays hockey at Notre Dame. He's a forward. You're a goalie. I'm always curious how guys end up in the net. When I was a kid, it was all about the gear. I loved the gear. That's what drew me to it, at least early. And then I ended up playing out during my little hockey career as a kid. But how did you land as a goalie? You mentioned you were thrust into it originally. Was that just like a first love? You made that initial save and you're like, this is what I want to do.
For me, it goes back further than that. I think I always knew I wanted to play in the NHL. And whenever I dreamt of it, I was always in net. So I just kind of dream about making the glove save or the sound of a puck hitting your pads. And yeah, it was just something that I can't really say exactly what drew me to it, but it was just my calling, I guess.
We mentioned you grew up in Calgary and you had a lot of goaltenders to look at and look up to. First, were you a Flames fan growing up?
Yeah, 100%. Kipper Suff.
I was going to ask, was it Kipper as a kid? Was that the guy you idolized?
Yeah, and then probably Carey Price later on.
So what about, at least initially, did you love about Mika Kiprusoff's game? A former Shark, drafted by the Sharks, of course, and traded to the Flames and went off to have that excellent career. What was it about Kipper that you loved?
He was a competitor. He was not a huge guy. And he just competed every night, made some unreal saves for the guys. And he's just always fun to watch.
We mentioned your older brother. He played rugby at a really high level professionally, played for the national team. Your dad played in the CFL. Your brother, as we mentioned, he plays Division I hockey at Notre Dame. You've got a sister as well. This sounds like an extremely competitive and highly athletic family. So what was it like in the Davis household, aside getting thrust into the net, being the younger brother who's got to play goal? What was it like just from a competitive standpoint? Were you guys always pushing each other?
A lot of fights, yeah. I'm good. It was a good time. I mean, me and my little brother especially, we would always kind of go at it. And he was always a lot better than I was growing up. And it was just kind of fun because he would push me. He'd always make the best team, and he would push me, and he'd just kind of be chirping me a little bit here and there. We definitely pushed each other to get better, and my older brother too. I definitely looked up to him, and I got to watch a lot of older goalies just go into his games, and that's where I started playing the puck. Was his goalie in Bantam played the puck a lot, and I thought I'd start practicing it, so I got into it younger, and it was always a good time. You'd see how the other guys kind of approach their off days or whatnot, or the extra stuff they do, and you'd be like, oh, I got to go do that. Like Jaden shooting pucks, I got to go shoot pucks. Cole shooting pucks, I got to go shoot pucks. Cole's lifting weights, I got to lift weights. It was fun.
Was it nice to have two brothers and even a sister that no matter what, you had people who could shoot pucks on you, that there was never an issue of trying to grab a neighbor or something to try to practice?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, my sister was pretty athletic too. She still is. She's a volleyball player. She rode horses. We all did gymnastics growing up. It was always easy to find. And there's sometimes my mom would even pick up the stick and rip a couple pucks at me. So it was a good time.
Your sister, Sydney, you mentioned gymnastics. That kind of intrigues me in the sense that obviously goaltending is so athletic based and quick reaction, flexibility. How do you feel like that kind of helped you as a goalie?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I could do the splits. I wasn't at nearly as high of a risk of getting injured just starting. And I mean, it's perfect for any sport. You do gymnastics for 8 years, from 2 to 10, you can really do whatever you want after that if you want to continue. But the tricks got a little too scary for me, so I decided to hang up the singlet.
We mentioned your dad playing the CFL. He's now a financial advisor. Your mom, Kathleen, what does she do for a living?
Stay-at-home mom. She's a warrior, though. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure you got three boys and a girl. That is that's a full-time job in itself. How impactful were your parents on this hockey journey that you've had? Because hockey, I think more so than even other sports, really does take a village. You need the support of everybody in your family. So how impactful have they been on your career?
Oh, they've been phenomenal. I mean, it was always kind of funny. My dad growing up, he played a little bit of hockey up until he was 15, but never really pursued it. He pursued football, obviously. But he didn't know a thing about goalies. And so he would just, when I decided to go in net, he made sure that he told me to take it slow. So my first year I played half out, half in. So I was a player half the games and a goalie half the games. And that was probably when I was 9 or 10. And he would come to every one of my goalie sessions and just try to watch and learn. And I mean, he would set up GoPros behind the net to film my games. And yeah, he just did everything he could to just support me, and anything I wanted, he would help me and find a way to really make sure that I had every resource available. And my mom as well, she's a saint, and she was extremely supportive of me throughout my whole journey.
Well, how much do you rely on your parents and your siblings now as a player who's embarking on their professional career? And there's always going to be highs and lows for any player, but the goalie positions in some aspects, you're on an island. You emotionally have to be different than maybe another position. So how much do you rely now on your family in those situations, maybe during the highs, but also during the lows?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're looking at the highs and lows, it's most important just to stay even keel. You want to try to avoid those as much as possible. And they definitely helped me do that. I mean, my dad's not afraid to give me a kick in the butt when I need it, but he's also my number one supporter. So, I mean, it's with them nowadays, I think it's more so just escape, just to, you know, talk to my family, build continue relationships and really lean on them, because I mean, your mind's all hockey all day.
I want to ask, you're a Canadian kid, right? There's different pathways to get to where you ultimately want to get, and you're in Western hockey territory. But you do see some guys come down to the U.S. and play American college hockey, and that's becoming more of a thing. And now with the opening of you can play in the CHL and go play college, we'll see even more. But I want to ask how that became the path that you wanted to embark on, how you felt like that was going to be your best path to success, is going, starting the AJA, then the USHL, and then ultimately at Denver's where you landed. How'd you make that decision?
Well, growing up, I was always smaller. I got cut a lot, and I knew I'd need time. And that's the one thing that college gives you, is more time. And I mean, I'm entering pro at the age of 24. It set me up best for that first year of pro, where I feel like I've matured both on and off the ice. And yeah, I mean, the WHL, it's quick. You got to be ready, and you need to be ready for that opportunity, just like in pro, but earlier. And I wasn't. And the AJHL, I mean, it was a great route for me. I went to Spruce Grove and they were awesome. I got to play right away and had a great group of guys surrounding me and a great coaching staff. And yeah, I mean, it just kind of fell into my lap. It was the perfect opportunity for me.
What about Denver was an intriguing destination for you? And were there other schools kind of in the mix as you were going through that recruiting process?
Yeah, there was a couple other schools, definitely. I mean, Denver, it's the only school I visited. I still remember when I got that offer and I was just elated. I couldn't believe it. I mean, the history, the legacy is just something that you can't replicate elsewhere. And it's just a group of guys that they all love hockey and they all love the fellas. And it's just so much fun to be part of this organization and just to be in the alumni group now. And there's a lot of guys that stick around in the summer like me. And it just kind of goes to show like just how special a place it is. So yeah, I mean, weather's always nice too. It's always sunny. There's a lot of things that drew me here, but my visit definitely sealed the deal.
It's funny you say that, because when you think of Colorado, Denver, you think of cold, but I have heard that before, that you get more sunny days than maybe people expect. We go out to Loveland, which is about an hour or so north. Mm-hmm. You'll go there in the spring and it'll be sideways snow, and you'll go in the middle of winter, December, and it'll be sunny. So it's interesting how the weather kind of changes. The Sharks, the Barracuda, over, I guess, the last couple of years, it's been a little bit of a connection with Denver goaltenders. Of course, Magnus Crona was here for a little bit. Before that, Devin Cooley spent some time with the Sharks, the Los Gatos native. Did that play any decision into, play any impact, I guess, into your decision ultimately to sign with the Barracuda? Why did that seem like the right fit for you?
I don't know if it played. It definitely probably helped me get that offer, since I mean, Nabby is, he's worked with Massa for a couple of years ever since Magnus, because they developed a pretty strong connection there, and they were probably just around a lot. And for me, choosing the Barracuda, it was a lot of opportunity, great coaching staff, and just really a great place to spend my first year pro and hopefully longer. I mean, it's just, it's a place, it was an offer that I just couldn't really refuse. And yeah, I'm just excited to get going on it.
What about the Barracuda and the opportunity? Obviously, the Sharks are going through a rebuild. There is openings in terms of pathways potentially to the NHL. This is an organization that's open-minded at this point in terms of bringing in players and allowing them to prove themselves. So what about the Barracuda and the current state of the organization made it an intriguing spot for you?
I had a great chat with Ryan Miller and the goaltending development staff. And yeah, just, I really agreed with everything that they were saying. And I mean, they recognize that there's going to be it's going to be a roller coaster year for me. It's not going to be easy, but it's just really depends on how you learn and how you grow from your mistakes and whatever happens. And I mean, I'm a huge fan of Nabby and just what he's what he's done. I really enjoyed those couple weeks working with him. And yeah, I mean, I think that was definitely a main factor in me choosing to sign there.
Just to elaborate on that a little bit more, Ryan Miller, you mentioned talking to him, a U.S. legend at the goalie position, arguably one of, if not the best U.S.-born goalies ever. Evgeny Nabokov, his career speaks for itself. What is it like being a college kid at the time, talking to those type of players who had those type of careers?
Oh, it's super special too. I mean, you are a little bit awestruck when that FaceTime comes in. You're like, oh, geez, like it's actually him. But I mean, yeah, they're super down to earth and super, super nice guys. And it was definitely really cool. And just to learn from two guys who have done what you dream to do and at a similar height, it's super special.
The Sharks are circling.
That is how it is done.
Catch the action at Casino Matrix, your go-to spot for watching games, amazing food, and nonstop fun. The home of the Bay Area's best progressive jackpot. Start or end your night with happy hour twice daily. No matter the play, the celebration begins here. Over 100 giant screens, 49 gaming tables, Zone 8 Sports Bar and Grill, and Sushi Confidential. Just 8 minutes from the SAP Center, off Highway 101 near the San Jose Airport. Casino Matrix, just drop in. Please gamble responsibly. 1-800-GAMBLER.
The doctor will see you now.
But do they really? Do they see you as a mother who's a daughter and a caregiver? Fearless, but sometimes fearful? A health nut with a French fry habit? An O-positive geologist named Patty, who's here today for a melanoma exam? At Kaiser Permanente, we believe the only way to care for all of you is by seeing all that is you. Kaiser Permanente, for all that is you. Learn more at kp.org.
The Hilton San Jose is the preferred hotel of the San Jose Sharks and SAP Center in San Jose. Experience something new. Close to home or from across the world, the Hilton San Jose is there for you with memorable offers and experiences. Enjoy the brand new guest rooms with luxurious Waldorf Astoria beds and upgraded amenities. We're committed to creating a safe and relaxing experience, including delivering an even cleaner stay from check-in to check-out. Visit sanjose.hilton.com now to make your reservation. We are Hilton. We are hospitality.
Quickly, just going back to your college career, we mentioned Magnus Crona. You sat behind him originally. Magnus won a national championship, and then he moved on, and your opportunity opened. You mentioned the height, right? There's always probably been something that's been mentioned about you as not being the tallest of guys, but you've been able to overcome that. So as you waited your turn and waited for your opportunity, how did you utilize that time to become the best version of yourself? So when your name was called, you were more than ready for the opportunity.
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, it was definitely hard, but being Ryan Massa, the goalie coach here, we worked a lot to make sure that I was getting what I have to out of practice. And then when the time comes, I still wouldn't say I was ready for the opportunity, because you can only learn so much in practice. You need the game reps, and it was just constant learn and grow from every aspect of the game. There was a couple weekends where I would get lit up in one thing, and I just hadn't seen it for years since. And it was huge for me, because that's what ended up leading to the national championship. It was just kind of learn and grow, and then I wouldn't get beat like that again. And every weekend there was something new that got exposed, and it was just another hole that we could patch. And yeah, I mean, backing up was tough, but it was I learned a lot from Magnus, and I really appreciate that time now. And it allowed me to mature and yeah, just really keep working on it and stay hungry. And yeah, he was great through all of it. Massa was great through all of it. And yeah, I'm super fortunate.
We're talking to Matt Davis, Barracuda goaltender, signed a AHL contract right in the spring, right at the end of the Barracuda season. So he'll be with the club this upcoming season. You won that national championship. You backed up. You won a national title. Then you took over the reins, became the number one goaltender, and just absolutely took off. How validating was that for you to be able to win one yourself as the number one backstop?
Yeah, I mean, looking back, like, there's a lot of guys that can't even say that they won one as a backup. So, I mean, I was super, super grateful for that. I felt like I could go the next 4 years and not really, but be good with that. I could always look back on a ring. And I mean, just to have one for myself was, or not for myself, but to win one in the starting net. I mean, it didn't feel different lifting that trophy, but it definitely meant a lot more. I mean, I'm a firm believer that everyone on the team plays a role. So I believe I had a role on that team, even though it wasn't on the ice. And I just think when I was out there, I was a little less stressed, and it was fun for sure. It definitely meant a lot.
The NCAA playoffs, it's wild because it's a single game elimination and you need goaltending or you're not going to go very far. And in many respects, you were playing unconscious during that run. You were the Frozen Four MVP. You were absolutely incredible during that entire run. Were you just in the zone? Kind of walk us through the mental framework that you were going through during that period of time.
All year, what me and Massa talked about were just, all you need to do is win four games. And it just seemed like everything we had worked on throughout the last 3 years had just come together for those four games. And I just do a lot of meditation. I like to play super chill and mellow. And sometimes it might not look like it. And that's because I'm trying to get my heart rate down. It was definitely special. And those one game eliminations, I find definitely can bring either the best or the worst out of guys. And I find it brings the best out of me. So I had a lot of fun with those.
One of the biggest names in the NHL coaching circle was your head coach at DU, David Carl. He ultimately signs an extension, so he'll be there for many more years to come. But he was a name when it came to NHL teams as an up and coming potential NHL coach. What was it like playing under David Carl?
He's incredible. I mean, he's a super honest guy. He'll always tell you exactly what he feels, what he thinks. And I really appreciate that because it allows you to grow as long as you take it the right way. And I mean, he's extremely humble and he's a really even keel guy, presence behind the bench, which I found was super helpful for our group. And I mean, he works, he pre-scouts, he just works extremely hard, and it's super fun to see all the success he's having, and hope to see more here before he moves on to the pro ranks.
In doing a little bit of research on you leading into this interview, I read that you like playing the harmonica. Where did you pick that up? And tell us about some other hobbies that you like to do when you're not focusing on hockey.
Well, I like to play. I play the guitar, and I picked that up after high school. Going into junior, I thought I'd get a hobby going. And the harmonica was actually this year I decided to grab it because I liked a couple songs that played both the harmonica and the guitar at the same time. And I mean, that's a whole new beast right there, but it's pretty tough, but it's a lot of fun to try to work on it. My roommates definitely hate me for it, but I mean, it's fun. And yeah, other than that, I'm a big music guy. I like old country music, and I'll read, I'll hang out with the guys. Like to get active, play, shoot some hoops, do whatever.
Would you play in front of your teammates, your new Veracruz teammates, if they asked you to play?
Probably, yeah. Might be a little shy at first, but I don't know. I don't really learn a lot of older stuff or kind of, I don't know, like bluegrass I'm trying to learn right now, and it's extremely frustrating, but it's been a good time. Yeah, I have a lot of fun doing it.
I noticed your younger brother, Jaden, had a pretty good mustache. For those watching, you have a pretty good muzzy going on as well. Is that just a Davis tradition, or where'd you start growing out the mustache?
I don't know. I think my older brother did it when we were younger, and I guess I just decided to do it when I hit college. And then Jaden, he can get the full beard going. And yeah, his is a little thicker than mine, and Cold got a whole beard too, but I don't know. Maybe it's coming for me.
Without putting too much pressure on yourself, do you have any goals that you set for yourself this summer in terms of training, in terms of just getting yourself in the best position going into your first season of pro?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to be as ready as possible. I mean, there's a roadmap that Nabby and I have mapped out before I left San Jose. And we just got a list of things that I need to work on in order to find success in pro hockey. And so I've just kind of been chiseling away at that. And also with Maddie Duran, the strength coach. And just kind of working and getting better.
Just a couple more for you. We mentioned how athletic your family is, and it doesn't just end with your direct family. You have a cousin too who plays in the NBA, Dylan Brooks. believe he was just traded, if I'm not mistaken, to the Phoenix Suns, part of that Kevin Durant trade. Tell us about your relationship with him and how is he your cousin? And you mentioned you shoot some hoops. Is basketball kind of in your family as well?
Well, I didn't say I was good at shooting hoops, but
you didn't get maybe the height. You didn't get the height maybe he has.
Yeah, exactly. So Dylan is my aunt's son on my dad's side. And he's awesome. I mean, he grew up in Mississauga, so on the other side of the country, unfortunately. So we didn't get to see each other a whole lot growing up, but I mean, he's still in contact with all of us, and we're super fortunate to have him in our family. I mean, and especially for me, I had a dinner when he played the Nuggets this year. I went for dinner with him before and we just kind of chatted. I wanted to ask him about the pro life and just kind of tricks, and if you will, and recovery stuff that he does daily just to be ready to play every night, and just kind of picked his brain on his routines and all that. And yeah, he's super fun loving guy, just calm and collected. He's definitely not the villain off the court as he is on. So he's fun to watch.
I guess maybe some parallels with an enforcer in hockey. Those are some of the nicest guys in the world off the ice. And then they flip the switch a little bit, and probably the same Dylan Brooks on the court. Last question for you. And thank you so much for the time. This has been awesome. Kind of get to know you a little bit better and look forward to continuing that as this season gets started in a couple of months. Undrafted guy, you talked about your size. I'm sure you use that as motivation. You're not the smallest guy. We're talking size in terms of like 6'3", 6'4", because that's become such the norm. You're not a small guy. Have you used that as a motivating factor throughout your career that maybe you've been overlooked at times because of that? How have you used that to fuel yourself?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, it was definitely more of a, fire in my stomach. I mean, I just try to do more, just be a better skater, have better hands, be smarter. And definitely, I got cut a couple times, and what they told me was I was too small. And I mean, it definitely hurt, but it just pushed me. And nowadays, I just kind of, I don't really look at it the same. I just try to play my game and do what works for me, because it is different. I mean, you can't coach a guy and have him do the same thing to be 6 foot versus 6'5". But there are a lot of guys up there in the NHL that are proving it right now that you don't have to be 6'5" to play. And they're playing really, really good hockey. And yeah, I mean, I just try to watch them pick things up. And I know that nowadays it's all about performing when your opportunity comes. And that's all I'm kind of focused on, is just hoping I get the opportunity and hoping I perform when I do.
So for a guy who's not 6'3", what has to be critical in their game? What is a non-negotiable for a guy like yourself and your style of play?
I'd say skating and reads. You need to be smart. You need to know exactly, not exactly, because you can never know exactly what he's going to do, but you need to be smart. You need to be a phenomenal skater. I think that's extremely important. Well, for anyone really, but especially for a smaller guy, you need to be able to fill that distance. And yeah.
Well, we look forward to meeting you a little bit more. I know fans are really excited when it was announced that you had signed because of your career that you put together at Denver and the potential that you possess. So great chatting with you. Enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll see you actually in the next few days for development camp as well. So we'll see you in the flesh, but enjoy that time. It's a fun little experience. It's short. It'll go quick. And then enjoy the rest of your summer and get ready for the upcoming season. Matt Davis, thanks again for the time.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
That'll do it for this episode of CUDA Confidential. A big thank you to Matt Davis. As always, thank you for tuning in and supporting the show. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And follow us on social for news, highlights, and behind-the-scenes content. Until next time, I'm Nick Nolenberger, saying so long.